Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, May 15th, 2023. This morning I will talk about the Holy Spirit in Acts. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Holy Father, all praise and honor, power and dominion, truth and justice are yours because you called the church into being from the nations and blessed it with your Holy Spirit that we might be witnesses among those who are sick and dying. Forgive us for forsaking your call and not sharing your blessings with those in dire need. Thank you for the sustenance, gifting, and protection of your Holy Spirit. In the power of your Holy Spirit, open our hearts, illumine our minds, and strengthen our hands in your service. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Acts 1:8 we read, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The Old Testament names for the Holy Spirit in Genesis 1:2 in Hebrew are Ruach Elohim, which is translated into the Septuagint Greek interchangeably as Pneuma Theou or Pneuma Kuriou. In English, that would be Spirit of God and Spirit of the Lord. The Greek Pneuma Kuriou is also frequently corresponding to the Hebrew Ruach Yahweh, which has often other more metaphorical translations, like Breath of God. Ruach Elohim is also translated as Pneuma Poneron, or Evil Spirit, once in Judges and three times in 1 Samuel 16, in reference to King Saul after David had been anointed. What is interesting about this list of Old Testament references to the Holy Spirit is that the two primary names for the Holy Spirit in the books of Acts, Pneumatos Agrio and Pneumatoto Agion, do not appear on this list. The latter Greek term for the Holy Spirit does, however, appear in a famous Psalm of David, "Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me." This is Psalm 51, verse 11. The Hebrew name Ruach Kadisho is used only in Isaiah 63, and the passage cautions God's chosen, that is, Israel in Isaiah's context, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. The example of someone obviously grieving the Holy Spirit was King Saul. Saul is described as tall and handsome, but also superstitious, willful, and impatient. By contrast, David is young, ruddy, and handsome, a musician and a shepherd, a man after God's heart. Once the prophet Samuel anointed David, God sent an evil spirit to torment Saul. Consequently, Saul's servants sought out David to play the lyre to soothe Saul in his affliction, and Saul took David as his armor-bearer, a kind of kingly apprenticeship. Evangelist Charles Finney used the word quench to describe resisting the truth that the Holy Spirit presents to our minds. David knew firsthand the implications of losing the Holy Spirit, which no doubt motivated his prayer. The prominence of the Holy Spirit in the foundation of the church and reference to this aspect of the Old Testament understanding of the Holy Spirit suggests that the story of Saul has special relevance to the church. This also sheds light on the story of another Saul in the book of Acts. This linguistic departure from the Old Testament and the particular passages in view suggest that Luke in the book of Acts sees God doing something new. Neither the anointing of the righteous lineage nor the temporary anointing of the Holy Spirit on Moses' elders is being claimed or referenced. The question that arises is, what is new? At least three things appear new in the book of Acts as a consequence of the tearing of the curtain of the temple in Jerusalem. First, disciples were given the mission of being witnesses. Second, the mission was also extended geographically from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And by inference, the mission extends also to Gentiles. Third, the gift of the Holy Spirit is no longer for a season, but forever, again by inference. Previously, the gift of the Holy Spirit was temporary and limited, except perhaps for those anointed as Messiahs. Or of the righteous lineage. The story of King Saul plays out in the book of Acts in the person of Saul of Tarsus. When the church in Jerusalem appears satisfied to remain in Jerusalem rather than live out its mission to be witnesses to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, Saul is seen ravaging the church and scattering the disciples. This is like King Saul being tormented and driven to David by an evil spirit. Once this scattering has been accomplished, we see Saul undergoing a conversion experience and living into his Gentile name, which is Paul. Paul then becomes one of the church's most celebrated evangelists and joins named and unnamed disciples to carry the church to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Thus we see both the Holy Spirit and its evil twin accomplishing God's work in establishing the church through the person of Saul. The Holy Spirit anointed Gentiles before acknowledgement of the church confirmed it. We see this in the pouring out of the Spirit on the Samaritans, Philip's witnessing to the eunuch, and Peter's vision inviting him to eat both clean and unclean animals before visiting the house of Cornelius, a Roman centurion. Later, at the Council of Jerusalem, in spite of much opposition, the gospel is provisionally opened to Gentiles. Consequently, the gospel reached the furthermost parts of the Roman Empire and beyond within a single generation. The purpose of the Spirit in evangelism is to identify those called to be the church. The Apostle Peter cited the prophet Joel during his sermon on the day of Pentecost. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." This is Acts 2:17-18. Peter then describes the path to faith. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This is Acts 2:38. This suggests that the Holy Spirit is both the sign and seal of faith, and with it, salvation. In some sense, the Apostle John's term for the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, or in English, the Comforter, embodies both ideas. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.